This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. Slight chance of isolated kind of pop-ups, but yeah.
Have you mowed your yard yet?
No.
I haven't either, but I see a lot of people.
I'm still trying to get the gravel out of my yard from snow. From
I just
when
raised
they
the deck
it.
Up a little bit and go over it.
Yeah, well, no. Not with my other half. When he mows, I want to keep my windows. So, yeah, no. We've got most of the gravel taken out of the yard, but we still got some more to do. So
I understand. Yeah. Party Line is presented by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at welovebigdeals.com. And Clinton Carroll, Boone County Daily News.com, your free local online newspaper. The online telecast at HoosierlandTV.com. That's brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Shoup's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Danganda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoup's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware, and Industrial Supply. The Community Foundation, serving Howard, Clinton, and Carroll counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinning, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services LLC, Braden Business Systems, Avery Home Store, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, Jerry's Body Shop, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. And a couple things really quickly here. Just tonight, monthly meeting, City Plan Commission, and then tomorrow at 5:30, both meetings are at 5:30, are the RDC. And so just a note on that this morning. We have a guest in studio with us today. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Oh, glad to have you. It's Evan Overbay. Did I say it right?
You did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you have a couple things. Highland Heights Foundation is where, kind of what we're going to talk about mm-hmm. today. But there's a lot that goes with that, I guess.
Yes, we have a lot going on.
That's good, right?
That keeps us all out of trouble, as I like to say.
Yeah. Well, Evan and I have known each other for a while now, but let's go back. Let's go back to when you started the foundations, because that's when we met. Between that and your daughter being in my 4-H club, that's how we got acquainted. And let's go back to that when you started this foundation, because I know everything that you do has a purpose. I don't want to talk about that, but why it was important for you and your wife to start this.
Yeah, so the Highland Heights Foundation was established in 2019. Basically, it came from a simple question of why can't we give it all away? So years previous, we had been at the farmers markets all around and selling our produce like any good small farm does. And then at the end of the market, we would always donate the leftovers to food finders. One of the food banks would come by and pick it up. Over the years, we kept asking ourselves, you know, we'd give this food away, but let's be honest, after 6 hours sitting out in the sun, it's not looking the best. It's not the best quality. We're happy to give it away, but we just hated that thought that we're not giving our best. And we pondered this question of why can't we just give it all away instead? So then we, 2019, decided to do just that. We formed our foundation, we are a 501c3 nonprofit. And then from there, we started giving away our produce. We quit going to markets, and then we just give everything we grow from our greenhouses straight back into the community. Through our food banks and food pantries that do the distribution.
Now, I mean, you got to fund it though somehow. So I mean, how does that play into it? Because I mean, you can grow everything you want, but it still costs you to grow it.
It does. So our original goal, and it still is to give everything away for free.
Sure.
We don't want to charge anything for that. So that does present some challenges, and yes, primarily with the funding. We are funded through individual donors like yourselves who align with our mission and want to come on board. We've got a lot of wonderful monthly donors that contribute. We do a lot of grant writing and grants, so we're supported here locally and through the state. And then we also have a couple things going on the farm that do earn us money, like the pizza. We have a pizza restaurant we open up. We'll talk more about that later. And then we're just opening a counseling center as well around that will also bring us some income to help foot some of those bills.
Well, and you and I were talking before we went on the air. You've expanded so much from where you started. Talk about that expansion, because you're no longer in just Clinton County.
We aren't. We've got offices now in Lebanon as well. Yeah, our mission has sort of expanded. We exist as a social service to our community. So that includes, but not limited to, offering wise counsel to those in need through our counseling programs, providing education on food practices, and support for other nonprofits. So our three main areas are food access, food education, and mental health. So originally, our original, way back in 2019, was the food access. We were really heavily supported on that. And then we thought, what could we do to expand a little bit while keeping within our mission? We try to be very focused on what we do. And then the kitchen was born out of that. That was sort of the next impetus, where we now can serve people food, but we also educate people and run cooking classes throughout the summer months from there. And then this year, we're just now launching our counseling agency and center, which our first office opened in Lebanon in January, and then we hope in the next month to 6 weeks, open an office here in Frankfort.
And what kind of services will you be offering there?
So well, we have licensed mental health practitioners, and they will be everything from grief counseling, trauma counseling, family counseling, individuals, children, on up. So a little bit of everything.
And by the way, our guest today is Evan Overbay with Highland Heights Foundation, among other things. I'll say that. Kind of a jack of all trades, it sounds like.
Yeah, the foundation has definitely grown since you started this. And let's go. I want to jump into the kitchen so bad, because we've already had that conversation in that. But I do want to talk about how your mission to feed, basically to feed everybody, mm-hmm. and make sure that they get that fresh food on the table. And you have some unique practices in your greenhouses as well. And talk a little bit about that, because everything's natural. There's no pesticides, none of that, everything. And talk about the ladybugs.
Yeah.
So
in our greenhouse, we grow through systems via hydroponics. So which just simply means all our plants grow in water. They don't grow in soil. That increases our grow time. So where a traditional lettuce, head of lettuce, we focus a lot on the greens. So for instance, a traditional head of lettuce will take about 90 days in the soil. It takes about 60 days within our systems. And then, like I said, we don't spray. We don't have it so quick. Bugs are always an issue. So we use ladybugs to help combat some of those little aphids. So we'll release about 20,000 ladybugs a time every... Oh, we do about twice a year.
So you can just buy ladybugs?
You can just buy ladybugs.
Really?
They come in a little container, and then we just release them. And then they just feed off the little bugs in the greenhouse that have come in, and they keep our plants nice and clean.
Is there a point where you don't have to buy the ladybugs anymore, and they can just self-sustain?
No. In the wintertime, they do die off. Okay. Anything under about 60 degrees, they get really slow and sluggish, and they can't really fly anymore. And you'll see them walking around, but they're not quite as active. And so we just replenish as needed.
Yeah, because we want the real ladybugs, not those orange stinky bugs.
Correct, yes, yes. We have the real ones that we have come in. And they do a great job. I was surprised. We were back in the early days I worked heavily with Purdue. They gave me great advice, and this is one of the things that said, you know, try, because I was pretty adamant, didn't want to spray on all our food, and it worked, and it works really well.
Yeah.
What is the science that you're learning? You know, because my daughter is very much into organic, and I'm like, is it really worth it? What is the science you're learning about that? I mean, because clearly it's important to you. So talk about that.
It is. So food, this is going to hopefully come across today. Food, I love food. So food's important to us, and it's one of my hobbies is cooking. And we just, we like everything. As you said, I guess organic's the right word. We like everything natural. Through my, again, I am no doctor. I am no,
I am no
nutritionist.
Yeah. Sure.
But from all of our reading and all of our understanding, it's all the chemicals that we're putting into us. It's not good. So we try to eliminate any of that we can. So anything that we can. Now, I have actually ill feeling toward anyone that does that. I understand.
Right, yeah,
you
know,
you get these big farms. It is really hard. We are a small operation.
Right.
We understand that. We have a greenhouse that's equal to about 1 acre in size. You can, but practices get harder the larger you scale up.
Well, that's a big greenhouse.
Let's face it, it's easier to control 20,000 ladybugs in a greenhouse than it would be outside.
Absolutely. And we've utilized things like in our hoop houses, we're a little more open. Bees, we're beekeepers as well, so we utilize bees to help pollinate some of our plants. So we do a lot of tomatoes and peppers and all that stuff outside, and we use bees to pollinate that and some of our wild flower areas too. So.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to bring up was that you do keep bees as well to help, because you almost have to in order to be self-sustaining and full circle.
Yeah, yeah. And they work wonders, and they produce this wonderful honey at the end of the year. So,
was there something in you that inspired this? I understand how you got started, mm-hmm. but was there something that was the instigator that was like, this is what we want to do, this is what we need to do, or did you just always have this passion that like, okay, I just want to live a pretty clean life food wise, or was there something that really sparked it for you?
Well, a couple things. Way back in the day, I wanted to be a chef when I grew up, and I hate to say it, I probably should have gone down that route, but this was in the late 90s when celebrity chefs in particular were popular. Everyone seemed to be going to chef school, and I decided not to because I didn't follow that trend. So I ended up actually went to Purdue for a bit in their ag department and then transferred out and ended up in marketing. But the food has always stuck with us. We lived in England for a number of years. And then when we moved back, we looked for a piece of property back. I'm from around this area and found a little bit of land. And again, food being central and important, we thought, why can't we start growing? Again, back in the 90s, you didn't sort of inherit the farmland or anything. It's just wasn't possible to make a living off of it.
Right.
But with hydroponics, it's made that happen a little bit more possible. And now there's, of course, a lot of little farms around now, which is wonderful. So we built the greenhouse and went for it.
How is the food in England different than the food here?
European food is quite different. They're really big on the fresh, organic. There are a lot of stuff that we're allowed to eat here that is completely banned over in Europe, and the list is huge.
That's why I asked that.
Yeah. The list goes on and on as far as what they don't eat or what is banned over there versus here. And the food is very whole, and it's very fresh.
We're a little behind the game, aren't we?
We are a little bit, yeah. Yeah. We used to, it was a daily thing. We'd go down to the bakery, he'd bake the bread for us that day. We'd go to the butcher, we'd get our meat for the day. And it was almost a daily thing. The fridge is... Not all, but a typical English household had a fridge,
small.
Like a dorm room fridge,
yeah
underneath the counter.
Yeah.
And that's what you had. So you do your daily shopping, and everything was fresh made, and so it was wonderful.
Well, it's like flour. Mm-hmm. We talked about it, and we're going to get more into that here when we get to the oven. But flour here is so over-processed that's what a lot of the digestive problems that people have, mm-hmm. and the carbohydrate problems and all of that comes from that over processed. And if you can, I am fascinated that you bring this stuff in from Europe, but if you can get your hands on it, that's the better stuff to be cooking mm-hmm. with and making your, you know, if you're going to make your own stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. Now that I
can, she feels like she's quizzed right. you enough about other things.
It's just that I've known him for so long, and I've known their operation and what they do and everything, and I wanted to refresh that in people's brains, you know.
I didn't know this is all new to me.
How all this, well, exactly, and that's the reason why I wanted to touch on all of it, because I knew, you know, self-sustaining is huge mm-hmm. to make this work from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So, but now let's make the jump, because I didn't know about this until she gave me the information on it. I did not know that you had opened this outdoor kitchen. I knew you had the grain bins and you had talked about mm-hmm. converting them somehow.
Yep.
But yeah, this is amazing. So let's talk about that. How did the outdoor kitchen, did that just blow up from the idea of converting that into a patio area?
It did. So we actually were granted from the Indiana Health Department. We built out a 45-foot grain bin, didn't have any sides to it, and we it was a twofold process to open the restaurant to help sustain us and to offer these cooking classes during the summer. So we did that, and we built it 3 years ago. Our first year, we started off offering barbecue and pizza. We still run the smoker as well, and it was very small. We'd have, you know, 20 on a good night, and we'd be happy with that. And then last year was year three, and we're right now still operating only on Fridays. And it started with just me, but now it is me and an employee, and then my family. You'll see my daughter, she runs the cashier, and my two kids are parking cars. So it's a whole family deal. We serve about 200 people now on a Friday night.
Holy cow!
We open at 5. April 17th is our opening night this year, and we sometimes sell out within the first hour if it's really packed. But we go till we sell out, and we always sell out. We have traditional wood fire pizza that we offer. So we cook on using our wood and wood only. There's no gas. Everything we make is all in-house.
But the ingredients?
The ingredients are as fresh and as good as they can be. So we import all of our flour from Italy. It's a double zero. It's a double zero pizza flour. It's very clean. We have a lot of, without getting too much into flour science, but it's very clean and easy on the stomach. So we have a lot of people, again, not being a doctor, but we have a lot of people that come in that cannot eat gluten, that can come in and eat our pizza without any trouble at all.
Yeah,
it's very light. We serve a traditional Neapolitan pizza, which is a thin crust pizza with a thicker crust around the edge.
Right.
It's tradition in Italy. For the most part, there's one secret ingredient, but for the most part, follow the traditional recipe outlined in Italy, and it's very easy on the stomach, and you can easily put away a lot of pizza.
when you like evening. Your own pizza, I think that's a good sales tip.
We love our pizza.
Okay?
we eat a lot of it. But yeah, all of our ingredients are, so our flour comes from Italy, and so does our tomatoes. Our tomatoes also come from Italy from there. So we order raw ingredients in, and then we make our own. So all of our sauce is our own. Even our barbecue sauce that we put on the barbecue pizza is our own. And then we hand make all the dough as well in-house.
We got a caller that has a question.
All right. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. Hey, this is Adam Shanks.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, I love this guest. I've known Evan a long time, and his entrepreneurial spirit has always been an interesting aspect. So I just wanted to remind folks, if you're interested, Evan invited us or allowed us into that greenhouse with the Hoosier Land TV camera crew.
Yeah.
And so we have an All Things Ag archive there that shows his hydroponic greenhouse, if anybody's more interested in.
Adam's on the road, I can
tell.
You're
with a dip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. You're back.
Did I lose you?
We did for a minute. Yeah. You're back.
Oh, sorry. I was going under an overpass. So, guys, just saying, if anybody wants to see the inside of Evan's awesome greenhouse hydroponics operation, we've got a full All Things Ag episode that he allowed us to do out there at his farm.
Hey, Adam, while you're on the phone and we got Evan sitting here, don't you think we need to do another one now?
As long as we get some samples of pizza.
Well, that's why.
I think I can make that happen.
That's what I was going to say. I think we need to go out and we need to see this whole all-natural process, don't we?
I'm all in.
Okay. Sounds all right. Good.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks for calling. Thanks. Uh-huh. Be safe out there.
Bye.
So talk about how the kids have taken to this, because you're saying that the kids are involved too, and I always think that's good to get kids involved in a family, but a family business to boot, and teach them some entrepreneurial skills and what it takes and the time and the effort and all of that. So how have the kids taken to this?
Well, sometimes it's a little you know, shoving in the right direction, but they love it. They've grown up this way. We're homeschooled, or we homeschool our kids, so they're home with us all the time. So business and entrepreneurship is one thing we teach. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's important to us, and it's what we do, my wife and I both. But we give them hopefully appropriate jobs and push them a little bit into things, and they love it. So my two littles, well, not some little anymore. He's 12 and 8. They park the cars. You know, they've got their jobs. They got their little vests on, and they're out there parking cars out to the backfield. And then my eldest, she's 13, and she runs our cash register. So she's the one, if you come to visit us, she's the one that will take your order. So if she messes up, you can blame her and not me. But she does a wonderful job. But again, it teaches her. I like it teaches her those accounting skills and how to handle physical money and the cars and all that stuff. So
that's a lot of kids don't know how to count back change anymore.
Yes,
do they?
Yes. And so she does really good. She was very nervous start with a couple years back, but she's sort of found her groove now and gets into it. So
what advice would you give to someone trying to start their own business? Because we talk about that, and we talk about trying to be entrepreneurial. We're all about small business as a small, locally owned business ourselves. What is some advice that you would give someone else trying to start a small business?
I think the big thing for me is perseverance and don't give up. If it's really your dream, within reason, obviously, you know, you don't want to sabotage yourself. But if you can, just keep at it. Things, I haven't heard too many fairy tale stories. Let's put it that way. You know, things just don't happen. You don't open the shop or you don't open a business and people will come necessarily. You know, you're not going to get the success story overnight. Sometimes it does, but it's very rare. So just keep pushing at it is the thing. Be persevere through it. Change things. So one of the things I told, we have a board as a nonprofit, but I told them is I wanted to keep things small-ish, meaning we want to be fairly nimble. Larger you get, the less nimble you can become, and we want to remain being able to pivot. So something's not working. So when we used to grow pre. Nonprofit, if something wasn't working or wasn't selling, I axed it. And we axed it immediately. I didn't, if the first growing didn't sell, I didn't grow it again that year because it didn't work. So we pivoted very quickly. So we were constantly, we constantly look at, you know, our records and everything. I'm big into numbers, big into data. And if the data is not showing what it needs to show, we change and we pivot.
And I do think hearing that, being able to pivot, I think is key in a small business.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Have some backup plans
don't get stuck or don't feel like you got to stay where you're at. It's not working. Change it. to something that does.
Was pizza, when you were thinking about being a chef, was that initially what your favorite item was, or did you have a specialty somewhere else?
No.
And then you ended up with pizza because this was great and it worked out?
I like the Michelin chefs. I wanted to be a Michelin restaurant. So I love all the fancy stuff. I appreciate their skill in you know, pairing the different flavors together and just the skill of making the dishes.
Okay, answer this question for me. I've always wondered. I see chefs that say use shallots. Is it really different than an onion?
I mean, technically, yeah.
Does it taste any different?
There's a subtle taste difference.
Okay. See, you would know
there's subtle, you would subtle get differences. That. Yeah. I often go somewhere and say, sweet. Hey, was that
sweet or bitter?
It's sweet.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Sorry. I make sure when a recipe calls for shallots, I get shallots.
Now, I will, so. You know, with all that said, pizza is by far my favorite food.
Oh,
it has always been pizza.
Yeah, well, you went to Purdue. It better be.
I love pizza. We the kids at home get tired of it because if we go on vacation, we're trying a new pizza restaurant out.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Just because we have to. So, yeah.
All right, white wine, another one. Do we always have to use the white wine?
You don't have to.
Okay. I see that, and I'm like, I don't have white wine. I don't drink white wine. Do I have to add it? But I didn't know if there was a reason other than maybe it adds something to the flavor.
It might add, like, the acidity or something.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
You can do something else in its place, too.
See? So when you're...
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to pick brains here. when you make your pizza sauce, I'm not going to ask about the secret ingredient because I respect that wholeheartedly. I have those, too. do you throw a little bit of sugar in your sauce?
A pizza sauce, yes. Mm-hmm. Our dough, no.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about this all the time. our pizza dough, a lot of pizza doughs do have sugar in it, just fine. We cook at over 1,000 degrees in our oven. So most pizza ovens cook around 700 degrees, 650. Mm-hmm. But since we're wood-fired, we cook over 1,000 degrees. It takes 90 seconds to do a pizza. Very hot. So we take that sugar out.
Yeah.
And it's traditional. They don't put sugar in their pizzas over in Italy for the Neapolitan style. And that's because of the heat.
Yep.
If sugar was in there, it would burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would scorch, crystallize and scorch.
Yep. But we do put a little bit of sugar in our sauce. Yep.
What is something else you would like the community to know about either the foundation or the pizza or whatever? Or maybe both. Maybe there's something about both.
The biggest thing is we would love for you to come out and support. I mean, that's the big thing. Like we said earlier, particularly running the greenhouse is expensive, but it is something that we find value in, and we hope the community finds value in from the produce that we can give away.
And do you give produce away there, or do you fully distribute it through food banks?
We use food banks as our distribution. That way we don't have to manage it. I don't have the manpower to manage all that, so I give it away to them. But the restaurant in the silo is one area where if you can come out and support, hey, you get some good pizza, and then you also help support our mission and what we're doing on the farm.
Well, and I will say, you started that in 2019, and then we got slammed with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And if it hadn't been for everything that they were growing out there and that they were giving away, there were a lot of people that would not have had that kind of food because it wasn't available.
Yeah, and even still to this day, fresh produce is really hard to come by. You know, it's easy to get the canned items, but actually fresh produce that is looking good. And we serve the best. If I won't eat it, I don't serve it. It goes in our manure pile because we won't serve it to anyone if it's not the best.
When I know you raise primarily greens, and you can do those year-round because of the hydroponics and everything, the peppers, the tomatoes, and all that kind of stuff, do you use, when they're in season, do you use any of your own ingredients on your pizzas while you're making them? I mean, I know you bring the tomatoes in because you can't grow those kind of tomatoes here because of the dirt.
Uh-huh. We don't. We, again, always add things or always adding things, and probably not this year, but we do want to add salad to the menu. which will be all of our salad.
Sure.
So that will be us, but I'm not going to promise anything this year. We talked about it this winter in our meetings. We do. The only thing I use right now on our pizza that we grow is our basil. So I've got two of our hydroponic tower basils now. We started them a couple months back, of basil. So it's fresh picked straight from the plant onto the pizza. And then
we can't get any fresher than that. Here you
the
go.
The basil's fantastic. It tastes great. Perfect addition to a Neapolitan style pizza.
Tell folks how they can find where they can get the pizza, where you are, and how they can follow you maybe on Facebook or online or your socials.
Sure. So the easiest place for all of this is HighlandHeightsFoundation.org. It's got everything. There's a button at the top that says The Silo. You can click on that, and I've already uploaded all of our open dates for at least the next few months are there, April 17th being our first one. And then and all of the – you can even look at our menu. Everything's there. A button at the top there also has our counseling. So if you do need help out there, please contact us. And it actually takes you to another website, HighlandHeightsCounseling.com, where you can book yourself in there as well. And then there's on the main site, there's everything about us, about our growing operation, and about the farm. So we're open starting in April. We're open Fridays at 5 o'clock. And then, like I said, we do get busy and full, and we go till we sell out. You can find us online and Facebook, and it's facebook.com/Highland Heights. And we do post there on Friday nights as far as when we sell out and what's going on, so you sort of have an idea. We a lot of people drive two plus hours for our pizza, and so we've had a couple unfortunates, but they came back that we sold out before they even got there. So we try to keep that Facebook page updated, especially on that day, to where we're at and how many pizzas we got left.
Can they do carry out too?
Yes. Yep. Okay. So you can call us. We've got boxes. You can put your order in and we'll have it ready for you when you come pick it up.
All right. Thanks to Adam for reminding us as well that you can also go to HoosierLandTV.com and see that special on there with Evan and the hydroponics and so forth. And maybe, mm-hmm. again, maybe we'll get back out there and do something with the pizza side of it.
Please do.
I know Mel is looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Evan Overbay, Highland Heights Foundation, and also pizza connoisseur. I'm going to say that because I feel like you are.
Thank you.
All right. And we appreciate you coming in today. Thank you so much. Again, Fridays only, starting April 17th. They open at 5 o'clock. So go out and enjoy some great pizza. It's all for a great cause from some great folks. You're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.